In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures evermore. Hallelujah. We thank God that those promises that we've been looking at here recently, that the great God, ever present, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. And we delight in that great promise today. That omnipresence, it's more than just the fact that in that attribute of God's omnipresence, that He's everywhere at once. In His omnipresence, as we were talking Wednesday night, as it relates to you, it's a specific, personal relationship that He's not distracted by all of these other relationships. It's an absolute, infinite, and eternal communion with you personally, praise God. Isn't that phenomenal? He's with us all equally at all times, ever present to hear every heart's cry, to feel every pain, whether it's physical or emotional. A God, the scripture says, who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Closer than a brother. One that we've become united with, as close as we are in union with our spouses. We have been taken into His bosom. We've been made one with Him. Praise God. What a great privilege it is to know Him this morning and to be loved by Him. Father, we come and we just open our hearts to You this morning. Father, we're a people that are in desperation. Our hearts are desperately in need of a visitation this morning, that we might be refreshed, that we might be illuminated, that You would come into this place and truly reveal Yourself to us, empower us, enlighten us, and most of all, we ask that You would be lifted up and glorified in this place this morning. And for that, we'll give You, Lord, all the praise and all of the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, as we've been studying the names of God, and we started out of Exodus when Moses had gone to the Lord. Let's turn over there to the book of Exodus for just a moment and remind ourselves of this great visitation that Moses had on the mountain as God revealed Himself to him there. He said, Lord, He said, I just want to know Your glory. I want to be able to have a communion with You that's intimate, that is personal, beyond a intellectual knowing, a knowing that's based upon relationship. You know, we've talked about the knowing aspects of God and the fact that the word gnosko, to know, is very distinct from oida, from an awareness, from a information, comprehension of God, very much as Job cried out, I've heard of You with the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen You. Praise God. Religion is the hearing of the ear. It's theology. And so often when we're out sharing Jesus, we'll tell people, you know, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. You know, it's an intimate knowledge with the living God. He's come, that the creator of all of the universe has come and taken up residence within me, praise God. Think about that. This omnipresent God, he speaks and says, there's no, you're going to build a house for me? The heavens can't contain me. And yet he's chosen to come and indwell you, praise God. God in all his fullness dwells within us. There's a personal communion. We're constantly aware of his presence. Isn't it tremendous throughout the day that no matter what's going on, how hectic it can be, you're always aware that God's there. You just know he's there. You sense him all the time. You feel his presence. We're listening for that voice to speak in the midst of all the turmoil. I don't care what everybody, I need to hear your voice, Lord. That sweet voice that says, this is the way. Walk in it, praise God. And so he's called us to that intimate relationship, to know him, gnosko, to have that intimacy with him, to be made one with him. And so Moses' heart was crying out, and he said, Father, I've just got to know you more. Oh, beloved, we can't ever lose that appetite, amen? The one who probably knew him best of any Christian that ever lived, the Apostle Paul, who received all of the revelation that we have in the Pauline epistles. On top of that, he shares a testimony with us that says he was caught up into the heavens, saw things that could not be uttered, and yet his heart's cry is, Lord, I want to know you. Amen? If you're satisfied this morning with the knowledge that you have of God, then you've not yet come to know him. If you think you know him, you don't know him. He's beyond anything that we can comprehend. Take all that you understand of God, and he is infinitely more than that, praise God. Amen? And we've talked about it as it comes to his love. Have you ever experienced genuine love? Many of us here have, but you know, not a lot of people know what it means to be loved. To have someone that has set their heart toward us and their delight is the advancement of our lives, of our being in well-doing. Think about that. And that's how God loves you and infinitely beyond your natural ability to comprehend love, he loves you. He loves you. Every thought of God is how to show himself to you for the furtherance of your well-being. Hallelujah. It's what his word reveals to us. We don't feel very worthy at times, do we? Rightfully so. We're not worthy of God's love. There's not a thing in us that merits the love of God. In fact, the same apostle Paul cried out, and we're so familiar with these passages, but he was aware of his unloveliness as it's compared to a righteous, holy God, and said, in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good things. Paul saw himself the chief of sinners. Do you? You see, the only thing that can ever cause you to see yourself the way you need to as the chief of sinners, as the unprofitable servant, as the no good thing that Paul speaks to, is an increased awareness of God's love for you and his holiness. And the intimacy that we begin to have with him reveals the unloveliness of what we are in and of ourselves. But at your worst, he loved you and died for you. Amen? While we were yet sinners, He loved us. Paul said, none of us sought God. He sought us. You were out doing your own thing, man. And so many of us still have that tendency, and too many of us are still overpowered by sin and selfishness and taken up with me, 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 me. But let me remind you, the one that sought you and drew you to himself is continually, still to this day, the pursuer of this relationship. God is behind making our relationship better. And I still battle the tendency to love myself and live my own life and affect my own will and to assert my own understanding. And God in His patience and His kindness, thank God for His long suffering, amen, continues to woo us, hallelujah. As though we were something. Oh, we're loved this morning. Hallelujah. And in that love that God has for us, He chose to redeem us. And with Moses here, He chose to reveal Himself to us and share with us all that He wants to be in us and what He has for us who will fear Him and keep His commandments. And so we're going to look at that aspect of it a little bit this morning. But as we review and we look back here at this passage in Exodus chapter 34, and God said that I'm going to show myself to you. You want to know me? You want to know my presence? And it was a little different than Moses was expecting. God said, I'm going to take you up there. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. We're in chapter 33, verse 22. And my glory will pass by you. And I'll take away my hand and you shall see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And so we talked about what an experience this must have been. We know that when Moses went to visit God on Mount Sinai, that the rest of the people that were down at the foot of the mountain, they were in terror of the presence of God. Now think about this for just a moment. They were in terror. That black smoke that absolutely overcame the mountain, the rumbling, the earthquakes. And as we read the scriptures, we realize that that earthquake, that very thing that struck fear and terror into their hearts, was the voice of God. The Bible many times tells us that when God speaks, people thought it thundered. His voice can tear the mountains asunder, the scripture tells us. And here's Moses right in the middle of this thing. The visitation of the presence of God. That Shekinah glory that we talked of in the wilderness, that great pillar of fire that held Pharaoh and his armies at bay. As we look into the scriptures this morning, we're going to see that that same glory and that same power is opposing your enemies today. That same power is working on your behalf this morning and holding Satan at bay from destroying you. I want to tell you something this morning. Satan wants to destroy you. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan desires to sift you, your children, your family, until there's nothing left. Satan desires you. But Jesus said, I've prayed for you. Hallelujah. Amen. What do you think it would be like? You know, David cried out, take not your Holy Spirit from me. It was the greatest terror of his life that somehow he would lose contact with the presence of God. I can endure anything. Put the chastisement on me however you want to deal with me for my sin. I deserve it, and I trust in your goodness and your mercy. Whatever you have to do to make me right, do it, but don't take your presence from me. Do you love the presence of God this morning? Do you long to hear just one word from Him this morning? And many of us are, yeah, if I could just somehow have a supernatural experience, if I could hear an audible voice, He's already given us His word, praise God. Amen. He's already spoken to many of us this morning, amen? As you were up this morning and you were in the Word of God and fellowshipping, and God spoke to you already this morning, what a gift we have, praise God, of this more sure word of prophecy. Speak to me, Lord. All I want is more of you. I just want to hear your voice. The heart's cry of David, the heart's cry of Moses. And what kind of a treasure is it to us this morning? And tragically, you know, we go through the day and so many people that the Lord loves, and we love Him the best we can. But we rise up in the morning and the first thing on our minds is the appointments of the day and how we can either get through the day or go show ourselves as the champion at work and the one that everybody needs, and I'm so important and the company can't do without me. Or we want to check the stock market. Or we want to hear the latest scores of the games that are being played. But so many men of that great cloud that's gone before us, the first thing they desired when their eyes opened in the morning was to hear the voice of God. To be able to fill their spirit with this bread without which we cannot live. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Many of us are more concerned with what we're going to eat for breakfast than feeding our souls. We'll fast the word so we can eat the Egg McMuffin or whatever it might be. Don't let these just be words. When you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. Have you not found him yet to the degree that you need in the midst of these circumstances? It may not even be overt trials, but there's a dryness in your soul. When you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me, praise God. Amen? Can you say this morning that with the apostle, you're pressing toward that mark, the prize, the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus? I am fully extended. Every bit of my energy is being spent on knowing Him. And then we wonder why we don't see the miracles. We wonder why our prayers don't shake the heavens. Oh, God's calling us into that place where He wants to make Himself known to us that we could again embrace His presence, taste and see that the Lord is good, an appetite redeveloped for Him. What do you think this morning? Can you say with boldness, looking into the very face of God Almighty? Can you stand this morning and look at Him and say, you are the pearl of great price? I will absolutely liquidate everything, all ambition, self-will, possessions, that I might obtain you. He gave everything to obtain us. He put that kind of an affection on us, didn't He? He left His holy presence, His holy throne, and was made sin with my sin to obtain me. And I'm too caught up with self. To offer back that He's given me. Oh, help us to love you more, Father. You are so much better than we treat you. Father, forgive us. We can only love you, Father, by your Spirit. In us, Holy Spirit, stir up in us an appreciation for your infinite love. And so as Moses is on the mountain and he experiences that great visitation, it says the Lord then revealed His presence. And in this last little bit of review for this morning, we were sharing that God is equating His presence or our knowledge of Him, our awareness of Him, through these many names that He reveals Himself. And so it says then in this 34th chapter, verse 6, that the Lord revealed Himself. He proclaimed the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. And so He starts revealing His character, His attributes. And as we saw then, along with these attributes, the compound names of Jehovah, and we talk about them, there's many, we talk about within those compound names of Jehovah, the redemptive names of Jehovah, and we've been talking about that out of Psalms 23 and how God has revealed Himself to us. As our shepherd, thank God for Jehovah Reah. Amen. And we spent that time and we looked through all of those different passages, and I don't want to bog down in those again. But He shows Himself as the ever-present one, always a prayer away, just a prayer away, just a whisper away, just a yearning away. You don't even have to get the words out. You just gotta want Him. Do you want Him? Do you long for Him? Look at the yearnings we've had for human beings. An individual, your spouse, your children, the yearnings we have for them, the longings when they're away from us and we want to be reconciled. The team's coming in at 1:30, praise God. Some of my babies are on that airplane. I'm looking forward to them getting home, praise God. Do we yearn for the presence of God? Do you ache for Him? Do you get heart sick? Have you ever been homesick? Stinks, doesn't it? When you're gone and you know you don't have the ability to get back, some of you who were in the military, you know what it's like. What it's like waiting for that letter to show up. You can't wait to get back to your bunk so that you could write a letter. Express your yearning, your longing, your desire to come back together. Let's call it something else. Prayer. Practicing the presence of God. Prayer, a love letter to the one who infinitely loves us. Do you brag on God the way you brag on your children? Do you brag on God the way that you get around your peers and just gush on the goodness of your husband and how proud you are of him? Is that how we speak of our Father, of our Lord Jesus? Do we have Pavlovian response to the little buzzer on our devices but can't hear the voice of the Holy Ghost that lives within us? I want to tell you something. That voice of the Holy Ghost is going off more frequently than your other little buzzer. Have you heard it? Do you long for it? Do you make provision for it? You know, you might hear that voice if you shut that other thing off. And so he reveals himself to Moses, and we saw then in these great names, and we talk about Jehovah Reah, and we talk about Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. We talk about Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. And we went through and we talked about all of the different aspects of God. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the presence of God. And he reveals himself to us as he manifests on our behalf all that that name incurs. You know, the people of God, the ones that knew him, understood clearly what this was all about. Look over at Psalm 44 this morning, and we'll take a few minutes here and look at some of these different aspects. And as we read the scriptures and we hear God speaking, of our need to rest in His name. When God uses the singular name, read it as all-inclusive. Names are specified, categorized. The name of the Lord, as He is one, His name is revealed to us. All that God is. Has been summed up All of these Old Testament names have been summed up in that one great and mighty name, Jesus. Amen? Of how the kingdom of God is affected in the earth. All that God is and all that God desires for us is in that name. It's very interesting, you know, that God's speaking and making reference to this. Turn over to Philippians. We'll be back here to the Psalm passage in just a second. But as we look into the scriptures and God is revealing the power and the authority of that mighty name, Philippians chapter 2. Don't you love the Luke 1 passage when the angels come and they make that great proclamation? You will conceive in your womb, verse 31, and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Oh, what a sweet name that is. Now the problem so often is we know of this great and powerful name, but people that are religious take it almost as some kind of a good luck charm, magic. It's not knowing about what the name represents. It's knowing who the name represents. Amen? That name has no effect unless it's spoken from the heart of one that abides in Him and His words abide in us. And then we can ask what we will and it'll be done. Praise God. We can study these names all we want and what they're capable of, but they don't work on our behalf until we know Him, until we're one with Him. We know that from the seven sons of Sceva, and we won't take time to turn over there, but we're all very familiar with the passage. And those young people went out having heard and seen the great things that are done in that name, and they took it upon themselves to go out and call over this demon-possessed individual. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. And we know the story. Those demons spoke back and gave us some great revelation, amen, into the name of Jesus. I know Jesus, and I know Paul. Who are you? Do you know that when we pray, and I don't know that we'll get there this morning, but when we pray and our words ascend into the heavens, do you understand what's going on when we pray? Do you realize there's a spiritual warfare going on constantly? In this room this morning, principalities, powers, this place is full of demonic powers trying to hinder the Word of God coming into our hearts, trying to distract our minds, trying to mock Almighty God, trying to hinder our prayers. I mean, we saw it in the scripture that, you know, we've got to be able to understand this. Don't get so caught up in the specifics of it that you get distracted, but understand the reality of it, that when we pray, God hears us. His ears are open to the cry of the righteous. But even when God hears and is responding, the scriptures tell us as we've studied that out, that the answer was hindered But thank God, when the angel finally got through and the warfare was won in the heavenlies, he came and he said, I've come for your word. I've come for the words of your mouth. Oh, beloved, how many words are we sending into the heavens? Are we bombarding the throne of God? Are we praying and praising God? Do you understand the torment that our worship brings to those principalities and powers? The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. Praise God. And as we praise Him, the scripture says, the Lord sets up ambushments. Hallelujah. As we worship Him, Satan and all of his cohorts are ambushed by the presence of God. Confusion is brought against them. The enemy comes against us in one way and flees in seven. If we'll just worship Him, if we'll just lift His name up, trusting, relying that whatever we ask in His name, He'll do it, that Father will be glorified in the Son. We can't sit back passively and just hope God does something. Invoke the name. I've given you a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He's Lord. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, praise God. Oh, I know Jesus, and I know Paul. When you pray and your words go up, do they just go up to the height of the ceiling and get intercepted by demonic powers and say, we know Jesus and we know Paul, who are you? Who, you think you're going to have some kind of an effect on what's going on here? Why don't you just recite your work schedule tomorrow? How about just reciting the roster of your favorite team? Why don't you speak what's really on your heart? God and His Word are one. This word that reveals to us the character of God and what He wants to work on our behalf. There's not one of us in here this morning that can't do measurably better in pursuing God and representing God than we are today. We're coming into an hour. It's not far away. There's a case in the Supreme Court right now. The ruling's going to come any day. On that, those cases out in Washington. Washington state is, they're crazier than the California people. This whole thing that has to do with the gay, what, all those people. And you remember the cake making thing? Do you think that was gone? It's in the Supreme Court now. And they're getting ready to rule on whether your religious convictions, whether you have a right to keep your religious convictions. Now the argument against these people are that, you know, this is, they're wanting to hook it on to the civil rights movement and all these other things. This guy making those cakes is not oppressing anybody. Dude just making cakes. And somebody came in there and wanted him to make a cake. Now, I may have this wrong, but my understanding is the guy even finally agreed to make him a cake, but he wouldn't put two men on the topper. Do you know what this ruling can do when it begins to be misinterpreted at the local level? This little cocoon that we live in, this life of ease and comfort that we take advantage of every day, one decision. We already know the insanity of it. There is no reason. There's no reasoning with people. We were discussing this somewhat last night. The hour is coming on us when we're going to have to trust Jesus. We're going to have to trust God. That hatred, given license, will turn so rapidly . Have you already made up your mind? Are we already proving and exercising our faith today in preparation for that hour? As we get back to the Word here and we see then that great name, that name that's above every name, we quoted the Scriptures already there in Philippians 2, 9 through 11. A name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. That psalm that we were speaking, and how vital it is for this to become reality to us, a truth to us. Vital for us to grab a hold of it. Psalm 44, verse 5. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Hallelujah. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. You know, one of the tragedies this morning, many of us sit here in this room and have no clue how hated we are and how many enemies we really have. We're just with Tiny Tim tiptoeing through the tulips. Google it. The war that's raging around us, this hatred, these spirits that are just waiting to manifest their hatred and defiance toward God. And the psalmist cries out here and he says, we've got to understand that we're at war. There's enemies that are there that are just as real as the enemies that Joshua and the people of God were going to experience as they were getting ready to go in and take the promised land. Exodus 23, 27, he says, I will send fear before you and I will destroy all the people to whom you shall come. And I will make all of these enemies turn their backs to you, praise God. Those are some good promises, amen? But we better know what this name is all about. It's through your name that we will tread under those that rise up against us. David knew it well, didn't he? Samuel 17, turn over there for just a moment, a passage that we learn in children's church. But what profound truth. Isn't it tragic how many Christians today would not only settle for, but delight in being able to wear Saul's armor? I've been elevated to where I can now, I rub shoulders with Saul. I'm somebody. I get to go into big meetings. I'm privy to all of the best that this world has to offer. I've gone on and got graduate degrees now. I understand the way the world understands. Year after year, we've stood here and said, don't eat the king's dainties, man. God will make you 10 times wiser. God will make you 10 times wiser. There is not one thing that all the education of Egypt or Babylon could provide that can quench the flames of the furnace. There better be a fourth man in our life. There better be a fourth man. Jesus better be with us in the furnace. Amen? Now, how does he get there? It's through us knowing his name. That we're here representing the kingdom. That we are truly ambassadors of Christ. An ambassador never goes in his own name. He goes in the name of the one that sent him. Now we get mistaken and think like the sons of Sceva, well, we use the name for these specific incidents that have to do with religion, but the rest of my life, I govern. You got to live in his name every day of the week, amen? Every hour of the day. He's got to be your source. For me to live is Christ. And so young David, you know, we know the story and how he said, I can't take this armor. You know, if we'd step back every once in a while and just take a casual glance at the circumstances, we might be able to see a few things. You're wanting to put this armor on me that doesn't work for you? It's obvious it doesn't make people brave because you're a coward. If you really thought it'd work, you'd be out there. Now let me tell you a story. I was just out praising God, watching the sheep, taking care of my responsibilities. Oh, how many of us are not content with just the small things that God has us doing. You can't be great for God till you've been faithful to God. And I was just out watching the sheep, the least of all of my brothers. You remember when Samuel went to the house of Jesse to anoint the sons, and he'd gone through them. He said, isn't there anybody else? Well, there's just David out there. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else? We're going to look at the passage just as we close this morning about the eyes of the Lord searching to and fro. Is there anybody else? And the eyes of the Lord searching through this good church, good church, full of some good people, generations of Pentecostals, the eyes of the Lord searching through that place. Isn't there somebody that'll go for us? Who's that guy hiding over there in the stuff at the Women's Missionary Council? Well, that's just Bob. He just got saved. He's only been saved for 2 weeks. I'll go. I got one problem. I get violently ill before I speak to people. In fact, I won't typically speak to anybody. I won't speak to a group of people. I refuse to cite the Gettysburg Address and the preamble, which you had to do back in our day, to get out of the eighth grade. And the teacher finally told me, he said, you either get up in front of the class and recite those things or I'm failing you. And I just said, fail on. Thankfully, intelligent vice principal called me into his office and he said, did you memorize those things? I said, yeah. He said, why don't you recite them? I said, because I'm not going to do that up in front of those people. My mother was suffering from depression. She was suicidal. I missed 60% of my eighth grade year at home to keep her from killing herself. I already had a great inferiority complex. And the way I dealt with my inferiorities was to just hit people in the face. Bob hits kids for no reason, was the report. That's how I live my life. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. And thank God that he allowed me to recite it and had enough wisdom to let us go on. And I still never spoke in front of people. Hate it to this day. But I'll go. And as opportunities begin to arise then from that willingness, and the next thing you know, it was a greater opportunity and a greater opportunity. And then people begin to tell me how I was supposed to conduct myself. But I just never bought into the traditions of men very much. And God seemed to be doing a pretty good job. And so I would just basically tell people the same thing. You know, look, I understand what you're saying and I don't have any problem with it and I understand what's behind it. But you see, I've just been being faithful, serving God, and this bear came up to attack God's flock, and the Holy Ghost came on me, and we took care of that bear and that lion. And I want to tell you something, this uncircumcised Philistine's coming down. Amen? So just leave me alone. Let me go in the call and the anointing that God has placed upon me. And let's see what God will do. And we faced a lot of demons and we faced a lot of obstacles over the years. They continue to raise their heads. But I want you to know something. In His name, we'll push those down, praise God, that rise against His word, against His kingdom. And as we end for this morning, as David goes out and faces Goliath, and he said, I want you to know something. I'm not coming against you in my own strength. I'm not coming against you with any wisdom. You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And then as we see in love in the scriptures, and he had his 5 smooth stones and he ran toward the giant. Amen. I think it's time for us to rise up in the name of Jesus and run toward the giant. Begin to get out of our comfort zones and run toward the giant. Whether it's at work, whether it's in your neighborhood, wherever it might be. That we begin to bring that name of Jesus that's above every name without apology, without fear, to bring it to light and let people know that God's love has provided for them through the redemptive work of Jesus and in the power and authority of that name, healing. And I can pray for you and God will answer my prayer. You'd be surprised. I do it many times, whether I've done it in the mall, I do it when I'm out walking. Just run into people and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm out here praying, just seeking God. Is there anything in your life that you need God to answer? Do you need something from God today? God sent me here. I'm out here praying, so I might as well pray for you. You'd be surprised. People... Really? Would you? Oh, I've run into a few people that, you know, tried to act ignorant, but 80% of the people are taken back. You do that? You care? Sure, I'll pray for you. And you just go from there to go, you know, God's alive. God hears and answers prayer in the name of Jesus. And you lead them right into the plan of salvation. Little bit off course, but how we need today to get away from minimizing the capability of what's in that name of Jesus spoken with full realization of what it represents. In that name of Jesus is every redemptive name of Jehovah. In that name of Jesus is Elohim, El Shaddai. Father, we come this morning and we hold that name of Jesus that is beyond our understanding of what it's capable of producing. There is nothing impossible to the name of Jesus. We ask, Father, that you would cause the reality of the great authority of that name. Let it become real to us this morning and clear. that the mention of that name releases an innumerable host of angels that will come and war on our behalf. We'll build a hedge of fire around us that makes us inaccessible if we'll just mention the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, open our eyes that we could see the chariot of fire surrounding us on the mountaintops, for there are more for us than there are for them, praise God. Activated by the name of Jesus. The dead will rise. The lame will leap as a hart. All power and all authority over all the power of the enemy has been given to us in the name of Jesus, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We are safe this morning. We are victors this morning, praise God. Triumphant, more than conquerors. What's opposing you this morning? Put it down in the name of Jesus. Declare its defeat in the name of Jesus. The Lord's here, the present one. Nisi is here, the victorious one, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, the Lord our victor. Purpose the death of those besetting sins. Declare it out of your mouth. Satan, you have ruled over my life in this area long enough. I come to you in the name of Jehovah Nisi, the name of Jesus. I am victorious. Sin no longer has dominion over me. And if I sin, He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. And if I sin 490 times in one day, He will forgive me 490 times and call me righteous, for I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And I am accepted in the Beloved. And no one shall pluck me from His hand, praise God. Now it's time for you to realize you're vacating. You have no place here. You're the accuser. I will not listen to one other word that you have to say. That stinking attitude will no longer manifest itself in my life. That lust will not manifest itself in my life. Pride will no longer be dominant in my life. Because I've got a name. And that name says, I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Through a new and better covenant. And I am accepted in the Beloved. And I am a son of God and an heir and joint heir in Christ Jesus. And God's love for me is everlasting. It is eternal. It is immutable. And it is infinite. And because of that, I'm leaving here a happy camper this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, our faith is the victory. Praise God. Amen. Go in the peace of God and...